This morning, I want to talk to you about your body. Yeah. Now, as you've heard the responses, I can tell some of you are a little concerned about that. And I'm not going to talk about your physical body. And we all heaved a sigh of relief. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about another body that every one of us, if you're a child of God, if you're a believer, you are part of a body. You were placed in that body at salvation. Now, you can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. But it's very real. It's very real. And every one of us obviously needs to be concerned about our physical body. Now, some of you do a great job, and you're exercising, you're eating right, all those things. I tried it once. I just didn't feel like it was all that good. And obviously, we need to take care of our physical body, because if we don't, we won't have one much longer, you know. But I'm going to talk to you about another kind of body that is really more important than our physical body. And it is crucial that we take care of it. Now, if you're here today and you're a believer, if you've received Christ, by the way, can I stop just a second? I was talking to our men a couple weeks ago about John 1:12, our basketball guys. But as many as received him. Isn't that amazing? How do you get saved? You receive Christ. By faith, you accept the gift of salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I don't know why, but when I taught on that 2 weeks ago, it just struck me, maybe for the first time in my life, that every man in life either is going to reject Christ or receive Christ. How do you get to heaven? You receive Christ. The gift of salvation. It's offered to everyone, and you have to receive it. And if there's a point in your life that you can look back to and you have received Christ, at that moment you were placed in the body of Christ. So I want to talk about the body of Christ this morning. You're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 by now. And I want to start by having a description of the body of Christ. You're taking notes. They all start with D. The main points, a description of the body of Christ. Look in chapter 12 and verse 12. And notice, for as the body is, what's the next word? One, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. All right, now real quickly here. Three times it tells us something about the body. What does it tell you? There's one. There's one body. Notice verse 13, for as by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So we're describing the body, and the first thing we see about it is the unity of the body. There are not multiple bodies of Christ. Now, I know that the physical manifestation of the body of Christ is here, right? But let me ask you a question. Is every member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church necessarily a member of the body of Christ? Why not? Because you've got to receive Christ. You can be a member of every church in Northeast Tennessee and not be a member of the body of Christ. Okay? Now, but this is the physical manifestation, and there are many, many churches that are the physical manifestation of the body of Christ. But there's only one body of Christ. There's not a body of Christ for the educated and another one for the uneducated. There's not a body of Christ for the poor and one for the rich. There's not one for the Chinese and one for the Indians and one for the Americans and one for the Caucasians and the Europeans. No, there's one body of Christ. There's not one for people that speak Spanish and one that speak English and one that speaks Portuguese. No, there's one body of Christ. And by the way, if you ever go on a mission trip and you go to a foreign country, even I know when we went to Brazil, now they spoke Portuguese and I spoke English and never the twain did meet, okay? But it was amazing to me the unity that you feel. Now, there's a reason for that. Because if they're believers, they're part of the body of Christ. If I'm a believer, I'm part of the same body of Christ. There is only one body of Christ. And by the way, that body only has one head. It's not the Pope. Okay? It's not some bishop somewhere. It's not the head of a convention. In Ephesians 1:22, it says, "And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." How many Christs are there? There's one. He is the head of the church. He is the head of the body of Christ. There's one body. Now, I've already showed you in verse 20, we see it again. But there are many members, yet but one body. Okay, so let's do a survey. How many of you this morning would say, "I have received Christ at some point in my life. I've been born again." Okay, all right. If you're raising your hand, then you're in the body of Christ. Okay, same body, one body, not multiple bodies, one body. That's important, okay? That's really important, and we'll apply it here as we move along. Notice also, there's one body of Christ, and he goes on in verse 13, he says, that we're all saved and we're baptized by one Spirit. Now, this is talking obviously about the Holy Spirit. We do practice water baptism. We are Baptists, okay? But it's not talking about the water here. It's talking about being baptized by the Spirit of God. You have three relationships to the Holy Spirit of God if you're a believer. Two of them were instantaneous and permanent. One is temporary. That's the one we struggle with, all right? What are the two permanent relationships? The moment you receive Christ, this happens. Two things. Number one, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, okay? Think about this. When you got saved, God moved in. Now, by the way, what's God doing in you? What's he trying to do in you? Conform you to the image of Christ, all right? So the Holy Spirit is in you. You are permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God. By the way, if you're permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God, how long does your salvation last? Okay. Now, not only are you indwelt by the Spirit of God, but you are also baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You are placed by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And this, too, is a permanent situation. Okay? Listen to Matthew 3:11. Jesus is speaking. "I indeed baptize you with water and repentance." Actually, this is John the Baptist speaking. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." When do you receive the Holy Ghost? Wow, that's kind of shocking. Well, duh. The moment you get saved. So let me ask you, if you're not being indwelt by the Holy Ghost, what is true of you? You're not saved. Okay? Now, the reason I'm emphasizing that is because there are folks that would teach others, but listen to Romans 8:9. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." The moment you receive Christ, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and then there's one other thing that needs to happen, and this is the third relationship. What is that? The filling of the Spirit, the control of the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be," and actually it's a present tense, "but be being filled with the Spirit of God." So if you're a believer, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, you've been baptized by the Spirit of God. The third one is optional. Well, I say it's optional. It only happens if we allow it. Yeah, it is. You're right. And that is that control. Just as a person who is drunk is controlled by the alcohol, a person who is saved should be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the filling of the Spirit. Okay? First two, permanent. Third one, that is the temporary one. And by the way, it says in this passage, we are made to drink of one Spirit. We are saturated. When I grew up in Idaho, and if you live in southern Idaho, you irrigate. Okay? And we lived in the parsonage for several years. And we had a little ditch that ran down the front of our house, right along the road, between the road and our house. And water would come down that ditch during the summertime. And we had a little plate that we would push in that thing, and it would divert all the water, and basically it would all just divert all the water in the yard. I mean, that's how you irrigate it. You know, you got 3 inches of water in your yard. That's how you water your yard. It would saturate, and if you left that too long, it'd begin to leak down the basement. So, you know, got to be careful. Because it would get saturated. Now, he said, look, you have been saturated by the Spirit of God. He is indwelling you. He has baptized you into the body of Christ, and he wants to control you in your life. So the unity of the body. How many bodies? One. How many believers are in that body? All. Yeah, there you go. Now notice, though, there's unity, but there's also great diversity. Now, this is real easy. All you got to do is look around this room. Talk about diversity. I'm not going to get too personal here because I said it wouldn't teach on the body. But simple matter of fact is we're all different. You know, you've heard there's no two snowflakes that are the same. Now, I don't know how they figured that out, you know, because they can't look at every snowflake and compare them all. I mean, somebody, you know, they say, you know, that they're, well, I tell you what, folks, there are many members in the body of Christ, and they're all different. There's great diversity in the body of Christ. And part of that is because God has gifted us all in different ways in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not going to take a whole lot of time here, but here in 1 Corinthians 12 and in Romans 12 and in Ephesians 4, the Bible lists about 20 different spiritual gifts. Now, some of those were temporary gifts that were needed because the canon of Scripture was not complete, the Bible wasn't complete, and they needed those gifts to authorize their ministry. Now, we have the Word of God now, and this is what authorizes our ministry now, the Word of God. But all of these gifts, let me just read them to you quickly. The gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations. Those are all found in 1 Corinthians 12. In Romans 12, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, mercy. And then in Ephesians 4, there's four gifted men, or five, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and then teachers. And I think those two can be put together separately, whichever thrills your soul there. But when you get saved and you're placed in the body of Christ, obviously you have certain talents. We all have different talents. Now, those are human, physical talents, okay? Joey has a talent to take stuff apart. Now, I have that ability, too. But he has the ability to put them back together. That's the one that I don't have, you know? I can tear them apart, but... And Todd's a good mechanic, too, and we've got people that work with computers, and people do all kinds of things and different talents and abilities, you know. But when you get saved, God gifts you with certain abilities, too. By the way, of those, and Graham pointed this out years ago, Graham Foran, our missionary in Brazil, great truth. If you look at all the gifts listed in the Bible, there is no gift of criticism. There really isn't. Now, I've met some believers who think they have that gift, you know, and their job in life is to point out all the things that are wrong, you know. What's wrong in the church? What's wrong with the music? What's wrong with this? What's wrong? There is no gift there, okay? Now, there's a gift of encouragement. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. We all need to work on that one, don't we? So we're very different. And obviously, we're talking about a body, and you look at your own body and think of the diversity, okay? I mean, just think about your own body. Okay, you've got hands that have fingers, and even your fingers are all different. Does a thumb count as a finger? It's a digit. There we go. Good. There it is, digit. All right, and you've got bones and things and toes and a nose and ears and eyes and oh. If Buddy was here, I'd give him a hard time about only having one eye. By the way, pray for Buddy and Anita. They're in Romania on a mission trip with Guy Altizer serving over there. And so our bodies are very, very different. You have lungs and hearts and spleens. I used to have tonsils, don't have those anymore, or adenoids, those are gone. The teeth are gone. A lot of the things, the hair obviously is gone. So, but you got all kinds of members in your body, and they're all important. So the body, as we're describing it, two words. One is unity, but great diversity. Okay? So there's the description of the body. Number two, let's look at the division of the body or division in the body. All right? Now, if you have a healthy body, you're disease-free, but you know what? Sometimes in the body, the Church of Christ, disease creeps in, doesn't it? Let me give you two diseases, and they're kind of on the opposite ends of the spectrum. Look in verse 15 and 16. You're still there. And it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So the foot's not happy. Okay? The foot wants to be a hand. Now, I can understand that, can't you? Now, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of Christ. But I'll be just real honest with you. I've not seen too many beautiful feet in my time. I doubt that anybody's ever come. Let's do a survey. Has anybody ever come to you? Now, maybe your husband has women because, you know, he was trying to be nice or something. And they say, you have beautiful feet. Nobody. Now, I think there probably are foot models, but I've heard more of hand models, you know. You know, the only person where the foot was important was Cinderella, and I don't think that story is true anyway, so. So the foot says, I'm not happy because I'm not the hand. In verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? So we got problems here. The eye says, you know what? Or the ear says, you know what? I'm not happy because I'm not the eye. Now, I can understand that too. Again, how many of you say, you have beautiful ears? Now, how many ever had someone say, you have beautiful eyes? Sure. On your license plate, do they say, he has oval ears? What do they put on your license plate? Your driver's license. Your color of your eyes. See, the eyes. Yeah, oh, that's important. The eyes, they're important. So we got a problem here in the body where they're not happy with being the parts they are. And I'll tell you, folks, it happens in the church, too. Remember, God gifts and gives talents to every person in the body for a specific job. And some of those jobs are glamorous, and some of those jobs are not so glamorous. Now, we get in trouble when we are not content with the gifts and the talents and abilities that God has given to us. And it happens all the time. The disease of jealousy. You know, I don't have the greater gifts. I don't have what I want. And I want to be able to do that. Wait a minute. That may not be your gift. There have been people like that who want to sing in the choir. And I would just like to be able to say, you can fill it in. Now, I'll be honest with you. We have an open door policy in the choir. If someone wants to sing in the choir, we'll let them sing in the choir. Now, we may have them sit in the baptistry, but we let them sing in the choir. Okay? Everybody can sing in the choir and wants to sing in the choir. That's exactly right, Leroy. Yeah. Put Leroy in the baptistry. All I hear is blah, 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 blah. It'd be good. Now, here's the thing. When one part of the body says, boy, I'd like to be that part of the body, and I'm discontent, and they become critical of that part of the body, and I deserve to be that part of the body. Boy, you got dissension. You've got fighting. I was just talking that we were with Brubakers on Friday over in North Carolina. Lavanda goes to this Southern Living or Southern Christmas show. Men, just to show you how much I love my wife, 450 different vendors, 450. I love my wife. Okay.
Probably half of them were food.
Some were food, But they had German strudel. That was tough to pass by that 3 or 4 times and say no. Now, I have to admit, there were some where they were doing the nut, different kind of nuts and putting them in sugar and stuff, and they had samples. I got to admit, I ate some of those just to tide me over till lunch, you know. How did I get off on that anyway? What was I talking about? Oh, thank you. And he was telling me about a church that he knew about, good pastor, and the youth pastor had just split the church, taken half the church. See, that wasn't his position. And when you get jealousy and oh boy, I deserve that position. I deserve those accolades. I deserve that. I deserve that. Oh boy, you got trouble. You've got trouble. So, number one, he shows jealousy. Look at verse 21. And it says, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the foot, I have no need of thee. So the first disease was jealousy. What's this disease?
Pride.
So now we've got the gifted people saying, well, I have all the gifts. You puny, ungifted people, we don't need you. How foolish. But it happens all the time. Happens all the time. The eye never says to the hands, you know, I'm in the head. I've got this mighty position. I see everything. You can't see anything. I get the glory, the attention. Who needs the lowly hands? Now, look, let me just illustrate this. Look, I'm going to go over and open the door. Okay? Now, what had to happen in my body for that to occur? Had to start up here, which is sometimes a problem. And it had to tell my feet and all those muscles in my legs and my hips and everywhere else to move. Now, I could maybe do it. I thought about walking over there on my hands, which would be good on video, I'm sure. If I did that, I would really struggle, though, opening the door with my feet. Why? Well, because they're not made for that. They're made for a certain job. And folks, we get people in the church who have some of what we would their ears, okay? By the way, ears may not be good looking, but what would you do without them? Well, one of my jobs here is music. And I'll be honest with you, my dad, of course, he's 89 now, but he's used power tools his whole life and never wore an ear protection. But anytime I do something that's loud, man, because if I lose my hearing, of course, the choir would be happy, but you wouldn't. Those ears are important. How about that big toe? Ugly. You lose your big toe, you're in trouble. May I just use it? I hope you don't mind this, Bill. They've got what are they calling you now? They've got a new name in the bulletin there. You're not called a janitor or anything. It was called facilities caretaker. That is great. Isn't that a great title? But now, let's be honest. How many people this morning said, to Bill, man, these buildings are clean. You're doing a great job. Okay? But let me ask a question. What if Bill didn't work this week and the trash cans were overflowing, there's no toilet paper in the bathrooms, and the floors are dirty, and the chairs are a mess when you come in?
The ministry of criticism.
There you go. Important, isn't it? You know what? Here's a simple matter of fact. No matter how God has gifted you or given you talents in the body of Christ, you know this, the body won't work. I if my hands had said, we're not opening that door. Again, I you know, because of the kind of door handle it is, I could probably use my foot to open the door. Okay? It'd be hard to close it that way, though. But what we have sometimes in the church is, look, I'm not what I want to be, so I'm just not doing anything. Or we have people who say, wow, I am the man, and I don't care about peons. Boy, I tell you what, every gift is important. And the church, the body of Christ, will not function correctly unless every one of us is doing what God wants us to do. So, two diseases here. Jealousy. Pride. Now, very quickly, the divine cure for the body. What's the cure? Well, I think it's pretty simple. And we just need to realize, folks, that we're all part of the same body. Now, again, I want you to think about the process. There have been several times, aren't you glad, you guys that build, aren't you glad for pneumatic nailers? Aren't those a great, I mean, talk about, not only does it speed things up, but it saves my thumb. How many of you have ever used a hammer and you're putting a nail in and you hit the wrong nail? Oh, now think about the process that takes place there. You hit that and that nerve goes right up through here to here. And it goes to here. And hopefully at some point it says, remember, you're a Christian. And then your lungs begin to work and the air comes out and it comes across your larynx. And your teeth and your tongue, they all work together, and you say, be careful now. Hopefully you say, ouch! Now, does the mouth say, you stupid hand? What in the world were you thinking? Now, maybe it should. I don't know. Some of the things we pull, maybe it should. No, there is. And when the thumb hurts, how much of the body hurts? All the body hurts. Now think about the church. When somebody hurts in the church, what should be our response? Well, you deserve that, you stupid idiot. You're making wrong decisions. I mean, what in the world were you thinking? Now, that's not how you treat your body. By the way, if that is how you treat your body, and you say, you stupid thumb, or you stupid, they'll probably put one of those coats on you that ties in the back, and the rooms are all rubber, you know? But, folks, that's how we do it in the church all the time. Somebody gets a new car in the church. Well, I bet they're in debt. They can't afford that. Probably. I bet they quit tithing so they could pay for that new car. Where should our response be? Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad the Lord blessed you with that. Someone gets an exalted position, gets to do something in the church maybe that you wanted to do. What should your response be? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're using your gifts where God has placed you there. That's wonderful. And when somebody has trouble and they hurt, what should our response be? We ought to hurt with them, shouldn't we? We ought to care with them. Shouldn't be, well, that's not me. Doesn't affect me. No, they're part of the same body you're part of. Now look, folks, if we would operate the body of Christ like we operate our bodies, think of the difference it makes. To care. We care for our bodies. We groom our bodies. We do whatever to make sure that our body is functioning properly. And when one part of our body hurts, the other parts all empathize. And I've just got to be honest, I haven't been eating dessert for about a month. And going over to North Carolina, we stopped at Wendy's, and I ate a chocolate Frosty. Wow, was it good. And my whole body said, ooh, that's good. You know, it was just like, wow, that sugar is really something. And I'll just be honest with you, folks. If we would just be that way in the body of Christ, boy, we would just operate so much better. Yes, there is diversity in the body, undoubtedly. But praise God for it. Praise God for the diversity. But we've got to have unity even though there's diversity. Now, think about yourself. Number one, are you in the body of Christ? Have you been born again? Have you received Christ? Okay, that's where it starts. Okay? If you are in the body of Christ, you've received Christ, let me ask you a question. What spiritual gifts and physical and human abilities has God given you for the body? By the way, there's a ministry of helps. That's one of the gifts. I hope I don't embarrass them, but I think the Love Groves have that gift. They're heading out to North Carolina tomorrow?
Today.
To go help with flood damage. They come on our mission trips and have such a sweet spirit, and they just, whatever you want us to do, man, we'll do it. I think that's a gift. I think that's a spiritual gift. It really is. And they're using it. There's a gift of mercy. There's a gift of giving. My mother-in-law has a gift of giving. Now, it's so extreme, we fight over who's paying for what. Although I've learned how to solve that. I just let her pay for everything. So God has gifted you for the body. Are you using your gifts in the body? And then thirdly, are you taking care of the body the way you should? Are you responding correctly in the body when somebody else is exalted? When you're not what you think you ought to get? The body of Christ. Oh, let me throw this last one in. Do you have that gift of encouragement in the body? Or is your gift the gift of criticism? Now, I'll be honest with you. By nature, I am a negative person. And that's no surprise to some of you. By nature, I'm not Larry Brubaker. Larry Brubaker, I don't care if the roof's falling down, he's happy. Isn't that great? Look how that roof fell down. Isn't that just beautiful, isn't it? Just amazing, you know? And I'm figuring the cost to fix the roof. And okay, well, that's bad. And that's something I have to work on. But you know, part of my care in the body is to say to Bill every once in a while, man, that hallway looks great. He finished working, doing some work in the gym that we hadn't gotten done. Man, Bill, that looked great. Stained that stuff. And by the way, Jerry, thanks for getting the stain and working together as a body and got that all done. Looks great. Gift of encouragement. So this week, let me encourage you. Are you in the body? Are you doing what you're supposed to do in the body? Are you building the body? Or are you tearing it down? Edifying the body? Okay? Got it? Okay. Lord, thank you for the great illustration that we can understand about this great spiritual truth that's so hard to understand. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here this morning who's not in the body, that today they might receive Christ. For those that are, Lord, help us to ascertain how you have gifted us for the body and help us to get in and do what you have us to do. And then, Lord, help us, I pray, to edify the body. Edify the body, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If everybody stays seated, if you're a veteran, I'd like you to be dismissed right now and go out.